Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 15, Text Number 32. Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstam Yadukulasya Cha Swapataya Matim Chakre Nibritatma Yudhishthira Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstam Yadu Kulasya Cha Svapattaya Matim Chakre Nibritatma Yudhishthira Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstam Yadu Kalasya Cha Svapattaya Matim Chakre Nibritatma Yudhishthira. Samya Bhagavan Marcham Yadukulasya Cha Svapattaya Matim Chakre Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstam Yadukulasya Cha Svapattaya Matim Chakre Vitatma Yudhishthira Samstam Yadu Kalasya Cha Svapattaya Matim Chakre Nibritatma Yudhishthira. Lady. Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Chasya Cha Matim Chakre Nibritatma Yudhishthira Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Nishamya, deliberating, Bhagavat, regarding the Lord, Margam, the ways of His appearance and disappearance, Samstam, and Yadu Kulasya, of the dynasty of King Yadu, Cha, also, Swa, the abode of the Lord, Pattaya, on the way of, Matim, desire, Chakre, gave attention, Nibritatma, lonely and alone, Yudhishthira, King Yudhishthira. Upon hearing of the Lord's returning to his abode and understanding the end of the Yadu dynasty's earthly manifestation, Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to go back home, back to Godhead. Nice decision. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhisthira also turned his attention to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita after hearing about the Lord's departure from the vision of earthly people. He began to deliberate on the Lord's way of appearance and departure. The mission of the Lord's appearance and disappearance in the mortal universe is completely dependent on His supreme will. He is not forced to appear or disappear by any superior energy as the living beings appear and disappear, being forced by the laws of nature. Whenever the Lord likes, He can appear Himself from anywhere and everywhere without disturbing His appearance and disappearance in any other place. He is like the sun. The sun appears and disappears on its own accord at any place without disturbing the presence of other places, its presence in other places. The sun appears in the morning in India without disappearing from the Western Hemisphere. The sun is present everywhere and anywhere all over the solar system, but it also appears that in a particular place the sun appears in the morning and also disappears at some fixed time in the evening. The time limitation even of the sun is of no concern, and so what to speak of the Supreme Lord, who is the creator and controller of the sun. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that anyone who factually understands the transcendental appearance and disappearance of the Lord by His inconceivable energy becomes liberated from the laws of birth and death and is placed in the eternal spiritual sky where the Vaikuntha planets are. There, such liberated persons can eternally live without the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. In the spiritual sky, the Lord and those who are eternally engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord are all eternally young because there is no old age and disease, and there is no death. Because there is no death, there is no birth. It is concluded, therefore, that simply by understanding the Lord's appearance and disappearance in truth, one can attain the perfectional stage of eternal life. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira also began to consider going back to Godhead. The Lord appears on the earth or any other mortal planet along with His associates who live with Him eternally, and the members of the Yadu family who are engaged in supplementing the pastimes of the Lord are no other than His eternal associates, and also Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers, mother, etc. Since the appearance and disappearance of the Lord and His eternal associates are transcendental, one should not be bewildered by the external features of the appearance and disappearance. Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rup Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajjatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desa Tarane Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Chaitanya Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tushe Namaha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Hare Krishna. So, somehow or other, Surya asked me again. So please pray, everybody, that Krishna will use me to speak something worthwhile. There's one famous Christian preacher, and he has a team of people praying for him while he lectures, that he can lecture nice. Special team. So, depending on Krishna. Because I just read Prabhupada would listen to his own lectures. He said, I want to see what Krishna said. So this is interesting that he decided to go back to Godhead. You know, they're very advanced souls, I mean, they can do that. Krishna decides, and we have to be ready for it. But it's not a complicated thing. If one just understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and disappearance, and then he doesn't have to take birth again in this material world. So that's what Prabhupada is referring to in this purport, that particular verse. In the first canto, we find a lot of verses, they're just flowing along in the purport. Later on, he starts, you know, separating it and giving the reference and everything. But to fully understand the transcendental nature, then we have to hear about Krishna, and to talk about Krishna, serve Krishna. Because Tesham, he gives knowledge. When we try to serve Krishna, then he gives a knowledge by which one can understand him or come to him. It's not like I meet a lot of people that say they try to read Bhagavad Gita and they can't understand it. That's why, because they're not doing any service. Or there's people who read it a lot, professors and gyanis, and they think they understand Bhagavad Gita. But because they're not bhakti, they don't understand. We had experience one time in Africa again. Some guy was speaking at one of their temples. We were there, and this guy was speaking Bhagavad Gita. He was supposed to be a scholar. At least he thought he was. So he said, Bhagavad Gita is all Gyan. It's all about Gyan and nothing else. Yeah, but Prabhupada says, Krishna says, Bhakti Mama Bijana. He never said Gyana Mama Bijana. He never said Karma Mama Bijana. Only by Bhakti, because Gyan and Karma are subordinate to Bhakti. And then when he had the questions, his friend was ready. And his friend said, is it true that the Bhagavad Gita, the purpose is to become Krishna? And he said, yes, you got it. That, you got it right there. That's it. And I was there with Kaunteya Prabhu. We tried to, you know, counteract that. And he said, well, we don't have time now. This is an important topic. We'll talk about it next week. And I just left it. So there, he bragged, I've been reading Bhagavad Gita for 30 years, you know. And he knew slokas and everything. And many, many professors, they know by memory. But they don't understand. They don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which Krishna says, I forget the number. I looked it up once, how much time Krishna says aham and I and my and mine. No one else could get away with saying me so many times. Sometimes verses 6-7 times Krishna says me, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that can be understood by association of devotees, by service. Then Krishna gives knowledge. One doesn't have to be a scholar. One doesn't have to be anything special except to have a service attitude, a humble service attitude, then Krishna is pleased with that. Of course, if we have something, we have a lot of money, or we have a lot of influence, or we have a lot of fame or whatever it is, then we have to use it for Krishna. We can't say, well, you know, the patram pushpam palam toyam. But if a rich man just, you know, thinks I'll just offer one banana, and Krishna will be, and that, of course, that's nice, but Krishna sees what we don't give him, what we're keeping. So it's very interesting to, you know, read Srimad Bhagavatam and try to get others to read Srimad Bhagavatam. That's also mentioned. You know, one who reads and or chants and induces others to read and chant. One who serves Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya's movement is to try to engage everybody in Krishna's service. So we have all these temples, we have so many festivals, you know, going out, Rath Yatra is somehow mystical to attract so many people. Like here we see every year those Christians come. And the same ones, right? And they follow the whole parade and chant. They don't chant. They hear the chanting. It attracts everybody. But any time we... I was told when I first came that, it, you know, if you just tell someone else to chant Hare Krishna, then Lord Chaitanya is so pleased with you. I know a few devotees that every day they just go out and ask everybody to chant Hare Krishna. Everywhere we go, you know, people, almost anybody will be very happy to chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada wanted that. I think that first one devotee wrote him once, said, I'm going to start a restaurant, I'm going to call it the Krishna restaurant. Prabhupada said, no, Hare Krishna. You know, you have to have both, you know, Hare and Krishna, Radha and Krishna, not just Krishna. So we have special mercy, we have Lord Chaitanya, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. Radha and Krishna combined, we want to understand Radha and Krishna, like in Mayapur temple, the TOVP, Panchatat was the middle altar, then the next one is Radha and Krishna. And the first is Parampara. Prabhupada said, you know, we learn about Lord Chaitanya from the Parampara, and then by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can worship Radha and Krishna. What is going on? Not hitting it? Okay, you got to get it aimed properly. And I have to... You know. All right, sorry. So, the Pandavas, of course, are very intimate associates of Krishna. And they just... we know the story comes up. Yudhisthira, after Arjuna didn't want to tell him, but he finally had to tell him that Krishna had left. And he'd already noticed all the inauspicious signs of Kali Yuga coming in. As soon as Krishna left, then so many things happened. It's like a shift of the whole planet, practically. All the symptoms cover it. That you might have read earlier, that Arjuna was, that Yudhisthira was noticing all the things that happened when all of a sudden, that's because Krishna left the planet, and then Arjuna is telling him. And so Yudhisthira also remembered Bhagavad Gita. And this Prabhupada stressed, especially the previous purport, you know, Arjuna is bewildered, then he remembers the Bhagavad Gita, then again he becomes fixed up. Even Arjuna, of course, before the battle, he had apparently bewildered by Krishna's arrangement. Then Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna became, you know, ready to fight and think of Krishna. And we have to do that regularly. That many times, you know, we might get discouraged, or it's not easy to even maintain the body and maintain devotional practices what to speak of maintaining temples, publishing books, distributing books, you know, festivals. Even Prabhupada apparently was discouraged especially in his early days in New York. He would go and check the timings of the ships going back. And then he would always just keep trying. And then all of a sudden, Krishna gave him so much. He came with absolutely nothing, and then in a few years, and Prabhupada said, who else has made, you know, business like that? Just starting with... So when he just read, when he flew back to India the first time, he had that 40 rupees with him that he brought with him. He took it back, and then he could use it. Of course, at that time, 40 rupees in Vrindavan was pretty good money. You know, now that's nothing, right? I don't know what it was at that time. In 75, it was 7 rupees to the dollar. Now it's about 70. And, you know, in Prabhupada's time, 1 rupee could buy vegetables for a couple of days or something. But he managed to keep that 40 rupees through the whole time he was in New York, and had his apartment broken into and his tape recorder and his things stolen. But he managed to keep that and keep all his manuscripts, and so we could have all these books. So we're always encouraging everybody, you know, and for ourselves also, to read the books regularly. Prabhupada stressed that. We heard many times. A devotee would say, Prabhupada, we're distributing so many books, and why don't you read my books? When he went to London, and the devotees from Germany, I think it was, they had done it, you know, for 1 week before they went to meet Prabhupada, they did a marathon, distributed like so many books, inconceivable numbers, and they came in to see Prabhupada, and he just, first thing he said was, you know, do you know the philosophy? You know, they know the philosophy, but is we want to give the books to everybody, but we want to know what they're all about also. We want to be able to preach to people. We want to be able to answer questions based on the scripture. We have to hear. We have to research. You know, now Krishna's made it quite easy with all these computers. Try to understand the inconceivable mental power of, like, of Sanatana Goswami, for instance, any of the acharyas. They were living, you know, without electricity, even without ballpoint pens and paper, even, and quoting so many scriptures with verse references and everything. Sanatana Goswami, when we go around Vrindavan, there's so many places. This is one of his sitting places, one of his bhajan kutirs, and writing all these books. Rupa Goswami also, and constant reference to the scriptures, because they'd studied so much they just knew everything, or else Krishna would just give it to him. So now, even with the Veda base and, you know, instant research, you know, sometimes we can't find something. Right? If you get out of 3 words, you get 1 wrong, then you're not going to find it. You've got to have it just right. So they were empowered. They're very special. And Prabhupada was especially empowered to give it to everybody. The Goswamis, a lot of their books weren't even written for publication. They're just writing for their own, you know, for each other or for themselves, purification. They're so elevated. The Prabhupada's mission was for the world, for everybody. Stri Suja Dvija Bandhu, you know, everybody. No consideration. And it's very interesting, if we listen to Prabhupada's lectures from 1966. So he was, a very small audience in front of him. Very few devotees in New York, 10 or 15 at the most in that first year. And he was talking very, very elevated, covering everything. The one interesting one, he was talking about how, in Vedic culture, the women are not given the Gayatri Mantra and so many things. And then all of a sudden he said, but Krishna, that's not Krishna. Krishna says everybody. Krishna doesn't discriminate, streets, but by one's birth, one's type of body, one's, ashram or avarna, what kind of family they come from. He just cares if somebody is trying to serve him, trying to chant the holy name. That's his Krishna's method. In society, as time goes on, all kinds of things change. So Prabhupada was criticized, Bhaktisiddhanta was criticized for initiating people that weren't born in the Brahmin family. But nowadays the Brahmin family, I just met one Brahmin from Vrindavan, and he's a very nice boy in Japan, driving a truck, I said, we are Brahmins. But Brahmin, they're not supposed to take employment like that. So that they have their Sharma name. So Prabhupada wanted to make Brahmanas. He'd create Brahmanas. And he didn't want just, someone that just does puja or something. He wanted Brahmin scholars, Brahmin preachers, people that could teach others to be devotees. And we have many, many, many. Somehow we look around and see so many devotees are incredible preachers, incredible pujaris, and so many things that it's all by coming out from, who knows where. Prabhupada took whoever Krishna sent. So that's what, we're very fortunate. We can't even imagine. We're not going to ever be like position of the Pandavas. Prabhupada explains that at the time of Krishna's appearance, very few people really knew Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even Lord Indra and Lord Brahma got bewildered, couldn't understand. And Indra just tried to make big trouble. He'd be very angry that he stopped my puja, Brahma was just testing and curious, and immediately, by his time, realized he'd made a mistake. But what to speak of the ordinary people? When Krishna went in the wrestling arena, there's a nice description how everybody was seeing him differently, and it said the foolish people thought he was just a foolish person. Atmaban manyate jagat. Whatever I'm thinking, everyone is thinking. A fool thinks everyone is a fool. So ordinary person, they'll see the deity and think that's, a statue, an idol. But our worship is not idol worship, it's very active. Of course, there are different ways of spelling idol, but Prabhupada used that we're very active, it's not idol worship, we're very busy. We're not just sitting around, just leaving the deity standing there to collect donations. There's a lot of service going on. And it's not an idol, just some created, concocted thing. Like, I don't know if they still say it. They used to call movie stars idols, matinee idols and stuff. In Japan, they have these idol singers. They just pick up some cute high school girls or something and dress them up and teach them a certain kind of dance, and they call them idol singers. And then, after a few months, they have another one, another one. It's not like that. The deity is Krishna. In the Jiva Dharma, there's one story of a Brahmana. He was a prominent Brahmana in Shantipur or something, but he got what his family thought bad association in Mayapur, and he just stayed there and became a devotee. So the family was flipping out, you know, this is really looks bad for our family, that our father is, you know, he's just become one of these crazy Hare Krishnas. And they went to get him back. And the one son was a famous logician, you know, like super scholar. And but when he talked to the father, and then he realized that, you know, he had great knowledge and realization and was appreciating it. And he said, well, can't you just come home and, you know, you can practice, you can chant there, and you can just be at home so people don't criticize us, you know, that our father's blooped, you know, from the Brahmin, so-called Brahmin society. And the father said, no, I can't go anywhere where, you know, where there's not devotees. And they said, no, we're worshiping the deity. And he said, no, but your worship is different. You know, you think that the deity, that Krishna's only there when you're doing the puja, and the rest of the time you just close the door. And we know it's Krishna. It's always Krishna. We saw it. I went to New York one time. They had an exhibition. It's called Puja or something, Hindu, Introduction to Hindu Devotion. So they were, you know, it was quite a huge exhibition and traveling the world. And they had a movie and they were having different Hindus talk, you know, to show that it's something, you know, prestigious, a big doctor, rich businessman, professors. And they were opening their little altar at home. And the first thing they all said was, this deity, the statue, is not God. It's just some conduit, you know, to help you get to the whatever there is that's unknown and unseeable and untouchable beyond. And then when they close the door, then it's nothing. It's like turning on the TV or something. So that's the big problem, that's what people are being taught. But Prabhupada gave us a real understanding that Krishna is absolute. The holy name is Krishna. Prasadam is Krishna. The devotees are not Krishna, but they're none different than Krishna. Chincha Beda Beda Tattva. And we have to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Maybe someone asked me the other day, why? What's the difference between always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna? Anybody want to answer that? Anybody have any idea? Huh? Is it just repetition, or is there some subtle difference in it? Anyway, that we need repetition. So that's the summary of all the rules and regulations. The smarta Brahmins and, you know, many people, they're just caught up in the Vedas. For the Brahmana, there's just thousands of, you know, you have to look in a certain direction when you eat, a certain direction when you evacuate, a certain direction when you sleep and wake up and, you know, take a bath, and everything you have to do just right. And then they forget the essence and too busy. One always has to be careful. It happens in so many religious movements that start out like very dynamic preaching movement, charismatic, and then gradually become more and more ritualistic. And it's easy then. Rituals are needed to help control the mind and body, but also have to remember the essence. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and that everything is for Krishna. Krishna is dancing on the tongue when you chant. The holy name is Krishna, and is a person. We're not just chanting, you know, for no reason. But that, you know, so many Mayavadis are preaching this, that it's not really Krishna, you know, speaking the Bhagavad Gita, it's someone else, something else, not someone else. something that you can't know, can't be a person, because we know God is unlimited. So people, we know people are limited. I'm limited. So how can a person? I was distributing books in Tel Aviv one time, and one of these guys, he grabbed the book, and Krishna book, and he looked through and found a picture of Krishna. See, he's a person. He can't be God. You know, get out of here, you know. But he's a person. He has to be, to have intelligence and know everything, he has to be a person. Things, you know, even, of course, some scientists say that ultimately there's a supercomputer somewhere that's the origin of everything. But we know different. So we can hear about the Pandavas. It's a very interesting story. Then it comes up later how, you know, Yudhisthira just left. He just gave up everything. He didn't tell anybody. And then one by one, all the rest of them just follow him. He decided to go back to Godhead. You know, he didn't have to suicide or anything somehow or other. He just took off for the north and went back to Godhead. All the Pandavas. And they were never really not back to Godhead because they were totally absorbed in Krishna. And throughout all their troubles, throughout all the good times. And we have to try to follow in their footprints. So here we're seeing quite progress, especially to see a lot of brahmacharis. Kind of became an endangered species for a while. It should be many, many. Just like families, they love grandchildren and they love, you know, everybody wants to have grandchildren. They want to carry on their dynasty, so we want to have new devotees all the time. We want to, so that means, you know, constantly outreaching, and then we have to be good examples. We have to be ready to take care and make sure everybody is reading Srimad Bhagavatam. We're selling many, many sets of Srimad Bhagavatam now, right? You're selling here? Is there follow-up of people reading them? Yeah, you know, Ganapati Maharaj, he was... Yeah. But, you know, Ganapati Maharaj, he goes around and visits a lot of people that are far away from temples. And he saw their Bhagavatam sets all still shrink-wrapped, you know. So then he started, you know, staying places for a week or two and just having a Bhagavatam class every night for the people in that area to make sure they're reading. Because once they get a taste, you know, they want to keep reading it. It looks a little daunting to think, you know, to read the whole thing. Even these big volumes, you know, just to take one off the shelf. It's dangerous. Just on the high shelf, you know. So, but once we start, and now, like I know in Dubai, there's one group of men and women also. Every morning they have a class. But there everyone just, you know, immediately takes out their phone. They all really, they come only for Bhagavad. It's a nice program. There's no prasadam, only the class. And they, about 30 of them come every day before the office, you know. So there are many people quite interested all over the world that are really studying. And we should be also encouraging everybody to read. It, you know, everybody is busy. The people that have jobs, especially in Japan, it's hellish. You know, they have to leave home before 7:30. Sometimes getting home, a good day is 7, you know, and a bad day is 10, 11, 12. You know, sometimes it'd be up all night because some emergency, So they have to, you know, find time, and it's not so easy. So, but then we have to be able to teach. It used to be that only the brahmanas could even read, and then but they would go around and people would gather and listen to them or see dramas or something. All those things we need to present the Bhagavatam, make it alive for people. So thank you for all being here, and I don't want to go over time. Any comments or reflections, whatever that is? Who knows what reflections are? Vaisheshika's got it down, but it's got everybody trained up also. Something you remember or something you appreciate or from the purport or... Before we all leave.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice class. When you said the difference between remembering Krishna and forgetting Krishna, I was thinking that with...
Not forgetting Krishna.
Not forgetting Krishna, yeah. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So I was thinking that never forget Krishna, wouldn't that could be defined as don't put yourself in a situation of distraction from the process.
Yeah. One thing, you know, like generally when we tell somebody, don't forget disappointment or don't forget your something. And often then we forget because better to say, please remember, you know.
The positive.
So we think of remembering, but, you know, don't do this. And then when you tell, like, don't do something, you tend to do it, you know. So, but still, that's in the Purana that Rupa Goswami quotes it, but it's from the Padma Purana. As a summary of all the rules and regulations, the purpose of all the Prabhupada's at all our activities, we're distributing books to remember Krishna. You know, we're building temples to remember Krishna. We're doing kirtan to remember Krishna. The whole idea is we want to remember Krishna. And, of course, if we know Krishna, then we can remember him. You can't remember something you don't know anything about, you know. So we have to know about Krishna, and we have like amnesia, but if we keep hearing about Krishna, then we wake up and remember, oh yeah, I'm a servant of Krishna. That's what I really am, and I've somehow become separated and become desperate to get back to Krishna. That's why Lord Chaitanya is stressing separation, because when you're separated from something that you had or you were attached to, then you remember that thing much more. So like some people think Ramachandra is cruel. He separated Sita, but actually that's a special mercy for both of them, that it intensified their love by being separated. Same thing when Lord Chaitanya left his wife and mother, then they thought of him even more than ever and more intensely in separation. So, you know, we might get that feeling. So we see people feeling it with, you know, with their friends or their dog or something. And the lost dog, we see those signs all over, you know, people offering money and feeling separation. So, but we want to feel separation from Krishna, so we have to know Krishna, to be with Krishna. So we have sadhu sangha. Lava matra, sadhu sangha, even a moment. Well, thank you for the moments, and we all need blessings, you know, from anybody. Prabhupada would ask the devotees for blessings, and Prabhupada said, "No, you can bless you that." So we want to bless everybody. Devotees just want to bless everybody by somehow giving Krishna and praying for everybody to, you know, somehow come to Krishna. It's predicted that it's going to happen. If we just look back at the movement from Prabhupada coming to America, it's only a little over 50 years, and how much it's grown. Even that, I think the Prime Minister of England came at the 50th in London, and he said, you know, thinking of what he'd seen in 50 years in London, and he said, what's going to happen the next 50 years? You know, because it keeps getting bigger faster, you know. So we have to be ready for it. All right. So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish ki jai. Gornitai ki jai. Jagannath Subhadra Bhamadev ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari. Hare Krishna. Gauranga. It's all right? No, I'm a bit tired. You cold? Huh? I know. That's it. It's not very cold. You're from... So, you, yeah. Yeah. We see the relative, like Raghu's here. He's from Hawaii, so he's got all kinds of clothes on.
Forget, always remember him, never forget him. Same, yeah. Isn't it? Same.
That's what I said. Same and different.